This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All kinds of military talk tonight. We have culture war talk. We'll find out what's going on at the border. We have Congressman Chip Roy joining us. We have a hilarious light in the mood. All that's coming up on I'm Right. All right, before we get to all the news and everything else tonight on I'm Right, I do want to address something real quickly here. 101st Airborne, God bless them, two Black Hawk helicopters crashed, nine killed, training accident. I want you to pray for those families. They're going through hell right now. One, I want you to pray for those families. Two, I want you to understand something. I've always been passionate about this. Those people who died are heroes. Being in the military is a dangerous job. It's a life and death job, right? How many of us have life and death jobs? I don't, you don't. Well, maybe you do if you're a cop or a firefighter or something like that, but it's a life and death job. Because it's a life and death job, the training will involve dangers that can kill you. Now, when there's something bad that happens in training, and there sadly is, these things happen. When there's something horrible that happens in training and someone dies, what happens is there are adjustments made in the military to ensure that in the future those things don't happen again in training or don't happen in combat. And the reason I'm explaining it like this is those people died, and it wasn't senseless, and it wasn't useless. They died so others may live in the future. So let's remember them tonight. Let's keep them in our prayers, all right? All right. Now let's move on. Let's move on to the current status of our military and the current status of us in the world. Look, the truth is, we as Americans, we've gotten used to a certain thing. I've lived my entire life, all 41 years, getting used to a certain thing. And that certain thing is this. We're number one. We're number one. We're the best. We're the biggest. We're the baddest. We're the strongest. That's how we've lived our lives. You've lived, no matter how old you are, and we have every age that watches this show, whether you're 95 or 5, your entire life, we've been number one, the biggest, baddest on the block. I think in the future, we're going to have a hard time. I know I personally am going to have a difficult time adjusting to a reality where that may not be the case. We are now routinely getting bullied and attacked by Iran. Did you know that?
How many attacks has Iran or its proxies launched against American positions in Iran and Syria since Joe Biden took office?
It's been
83 attacks, I think, in the last several years.
That's a lot of attacks over 2 years. How many times have we retaliated against Iran or its proxies?
We've launched 4 major strikes.
83 attacks. We've responded 4 times. Are you ready for the new reality? And understand this. I'm still adjusting with this. So we're just going to talk through this together, you and me, right now. I'm still adjusting to this new reality that has been the reality for most nations in the history of the world. And that reality is this. Your nation gets attacked, gets infringed upon in any way, and your nation doesn't have the ability and or the will to respond. So you essentially just get bullied by the more committed people. That's how so many nations on this planet have existed forever. We've never experienced that. I've never experienced that. But that's the reality of where we are now. And man, does that hit you like it hits me? That hurts. And look, let's be honest about Iran. This is the same country that under Barack Obama had our sailors, on their knees with their hands behind their head, took our sailors captive, and we did nothing. We did nothing to them at all. Oh, maybe you're sitting there saying, ah, it's just Iran, Jesse. We do whatever we want to them. Oh, you mean nuclear Iran?
From the time of an Iranian decision, Iran could produce enough fissile material for a nuclear weapon in less than 2 weeks, and it would only take several more months to produce an actual nuclear weapon.
A nuclear weapon from the nation that is really attacking us daily, pretty much, from a nation that has promised to wipe other nations on the planet off the map. This is real. It is real, and this is the cost of weakness. And this is a cost that Americans, myself included, are not ready to bear because we've never been prepared for this. We have never lived in an age where we weren't the big bad bully on the block. Yet that age is here now. And there are a million and one reasons for this. We talk about it all the time. But one of the main drivers of this is weak, stupid, pathetic political military leadership. Do you ever read any history? You know, we do a bunch of history on this show because I'm a history freak. Do you ever read any history? One of the things that strikes me so often about military history when you read about this battle or this, that, is how often the general at the end, the one who's in command, how often he either resigns or is fired or kills himself or is himself put to death by the nation he fought for. That is the entire history of the world. Now, that seems extreme, right? Now, I don't want anyone to kill themselves, don't get me wrong, but that seems so extreme. Wow, that's over the top. How could you do this? Well, nations historically are proud of themselves, have understood the stakes of war, the stakes of battle, the cost of losing, and therefore nations have made it known to their military leadership, the cost is high. Be on point. Don't screw up. Be ready to go. Even here in the United States of America, thankfully we haven't been putting generals to death when they screw up in this country, but even in the United States of America, we have had trials over things like this. The guys involved in something like Pearl Harbor, they didn't get off scot-free once everything was said and done. No, 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 no. Admiral, come, sit, be interrogated, answer for your failures. We're not even talking about maliciousness here. We're not even honestly talking about things that maybe can even be blamed on them. Fault doesn't matter. You were in charge. Why'd it fail? Answer for yourself. A nation that does those things is a nation that takes itself seriously, takes military matters seriously. It is a nation that will produce other military leaders who take themselves and their mission deadly serious. What I'm about to play for you is not a small thing. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. And it'll get forgotten. You'll forget about this in a day or two, but I want you to understand what you're about to watch is a gigantic indicator that we are in very, very serious trouble as a nation.
Do you have regrets about the withdrawal from Afghanistan?
I support the president's decision.
Do you have regrets about their withdrawal or how the withdrawal occurred from Afghanistan that cost the lives of 13 of our service members?
I don't have any regrets.
No regrets. What happened in Afghanistan was not just 13 of our bravest and best dying because of the negligence of our leaders. In response to the 13 brave souls dying for this nation because of our leaders, we then, quote, responded and we drone striked 10 innocent Afghanis. Six of them were children. Then we botched the whole thing, had people falling from the planes as we took off from Afghanistan. What happened in Afghanistan wasn't a national embarrassment. It was an international embarrassment, openly mocked by several nations on the world stage. And our military leadership is so devoid of any accountability, any patriotism now, not one resigned. Not one general, not one colonel, not one admiral, nobody, nobody. And the Secretary of Defense, who presided over it, not only did he not resign in disgrace, not only was he not put on trial, he's totally comfortable going on television and saying, hey, no regrets. Should also be noted that same guy doesn't care that the U.S. military is full of communists now. Here's Lloyd Austin.
This is a tweet by one of your employees in charge of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and it's patently racist. They say that she had to give Karen the business, that she talks about caudacity, presumably of Caucasian people. So I guess,
terrible.
Why does the... why is that person...
Look, you're not
so
getting any argument from me. That's terrible, it's wrong, she shouldn't be doing that, period.
Should she be fired?
That's a DOD employee, not U.S. military uniform.
Should they be fired, Secretary Austin?
Again, as you heard in your subcommittee here, this incident was investigated, and
they're still employed.
It was investigated. Remember what they said after we drone strike 10 innocent children in Afghanistan? They actually investigated themselves. The Pentagon did. And at the end of that investigation, John Kirby, then Pentagon spokesman, got up and said, well, no, there's not going to be any punishment. No, there was no one failed, really. It was a failure of the process. Six innocent children taken from this earth by us. No one got in trouble. Nobody resigned. You may think it's a small thing. It is an indicator that we are in very, very, very serious trouble as a nation. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We're going to talk to Congressman Chip Roy about that in just a moment. Now, more than ever, is a time to train yourself in all things. I've been working out more. I'm not one of these huge fitness guys. I'm training my body because I know we are in for a future where that's probably going to be beneficial. I train more now with my weapon than ever. Not just because of the news, but because Mantis X has made it easy to train with my weapon. Why? Because I dry fire practice in my home, right here in the studio. We dry fire practice in between the breaks, thanks to Mantis X. Been wanting to get your wife, husband into shooting, trying to teach your children about it. Worried about them hearing the old bang? Mantis X. You're an experienced shooter. You know what you're doing. Good for you. Mantis X will make you better. It makes the Green Berets better. They use it. Dry fire practice. No more spending money on ammo, gas, range fees. Go to MantisX.com and get one. They'll send it to your front door. You'll be faster and deadlier in a year than you are right now. Shoot, you'll be faster and deadlier in a month. MantisX.com, all right? We'll be back.
12 days ago, y'all got the American taxpayer on the hook to pay for travel and time off for elective abortions. And you did not make this with anybody in this room or Congress taking a vote.
On the issue of providing non-covered reproductive health care for our women, I would just say, Senator, almost one in five of our troops are women. And they don't get a chance to choose where they're stationed. So almost 80,000 of our women are stationed in places that where they don't have access to non-covered reproductive health care. This policy is based on strong legal grounds.
Wow, that sounds like our military is super focused on everything they should be focused on. Joining me now, Congressman from the great state of Texas, Chip Roy. Congressman, that's the defense secretary. I'm extremely concerned about China, Russia, Iran. He seems to be concerned with other things.
Jesse, this is the fundamental problem we face right now. And I want to give credit, shout out to Senator Tuberville from Alabama, who's been holding up nominees in order to try to make a point that we should not be using taxpayer dollars to fund abortion through the Pentagon. But yet that is just another extension of this incompetent regime over the Department of Defense that continues to use it as a social engineering experiment wrapped in a uniform. And that is not the way we should do business. We are not going to increase recruiting by continuing to stick all of our recruits into DEI and critical race theory and, you know, we hate whitey type, you know, exposés. And that's what's happening. And if you talk to all the recruits and you serve and, you know, you talk to guys that are still serving and gals that are still serving, they're having to put up with all this garbage. And here you're seeing it now, taxpayer funded abortions in the Pentagon. And they're continuing to, you saw that diversity position, the woman 2 weeks ago who said something like, oh, these white folks, you know, and their caudacity or whatever it is, some sort of, you know, ridiculousness. But, this is what's going on a regular basis there.
Congressman, you know what I hear that shocks me most? I don't know about shocks me, but it really brings home the problem. My whole life, guys who have served, guys I knew who served, they always talked to their kids about serving and pushed their kids to serving. Congressman, I don't know a single veteran friend of mine from Iraq or Afghanistan that is encouraging his children to join the military. In fact, most of them are telling their children not to join the military. I don't think people understand what a big deal that is when these legacy military families are checking out and we're filling up our military with turds.
Well, this is, and thank you for highlighting this, and thank you because you as a veteran have the voice to be able to say that in ways that people like me who did not serve in the military, it's harder for us to make that point. And so thank you for doing it. But it actually gives me pain to say it and to agree with you because the fact is we need our best young men and best young women to serve. And God bless the ones who do. I, in my job as a member of Congress, have to make appointments to the military academies. And, you know, I talk every, you know, day almost, certainly every week to families in the district I represent and make these nominations. And these are great kids. I met with a group of Naval aviators just this last weekend in Austin, all just great Americans who love their country. And they're very competent. Yes, sir. And yes, ma'am. But the military brass is trying to destroy that culture. It's purposeful. It's part of an assault on our culture by a bunch of woke leftists that this administration is pushing. And that this brass at the top of the Pentagon are trying to continue to perpetuate. They're undermining our national security, destroying our readiness, destroying our recruiting, making us more vulnerable to China. And they are undermining the very thing they're supposed to protect in uniform. They should be called out for it. And the next president of the United States ought to obliterate the leadership of the Pentagon and start over.
Oh, he should. He should. And hopefully Lloyd Austin will... Well, here's Lloyd Austin from yesterday. I have something to say about this.
Has there ever been any accountability for anyone within the Department of Defense for the deadly, botched, and embarrassing withdrawal from Afghanistan? Any accountability?
Hey, listen, our troops evacuated 124,000 people off of that airfield.
Has anyone been held accountable? If a Navy captain grounded a ship, what happens immediately?
Typically, that captain is removed.
That captain is removed. Has anyone been held accountable for what happened in Afghanistan?
To my knowledge, no.
to my knowledge. One, that's an unbelievable statement. Two, Congressman, as you well know, the history of the world is generals resigning on their own in disgrace after failure in the battlefield. Some cultures, they actually commit suicide. Not that I want us to start doing things like that. But in our country, they've been put on trial before for horrific failures. Not one member of the United States military has resigned in disgrace or been fired after an international embarrassment like that. That's the kind of thing that tells rural boys in Texas, I won't join this military. My leaders aren't accountable at all, but I'll be held accountable.
Well, you're exactly right. What we had, 13 dead Marines and certainly men and women in uniform. We had $85 billion of assets left behind. We have pictures of the Taliban showing that they've got those assets. They're able to either use them or retrofit them and figure out how to use them. It was a complete abandonment of Bagram. I've been calling for a review of our authorization to use the military force, and I didn't think we needed to have a massive footprint over there. But what we should have done was pulled in and tightened around, maintained Bagram so that we could have a foothold there, but not be over there building, soccer fields and trying to, go out and insert ourselves into the communities in Afghanistan, but have a presence to make sure we're defending our interests without abandoning it and turning it over to our enemies. I mean, it was an absolute debacle from top to bottom. Just God bless all of you who served. I know we accomplished a number of great things there, but the leadership of this country has failed us. And we're seeing that now with the consequences with burn pits. And now what we're having to deal with, we're seeing that now while we continue to operate under 20-year-old authorization to use of military force. We have a war machine complex in this town that continues to perpetuate spending and obliterating our fiscal health, weakening our resolve and our ability to fight, a real challenge in China. We've got cartels that are getting empowered in the Western Hemisphere. We now have China and Brazil working on something other than the U.S. dollar. This is all on this administration's watch, but it's not this administration. It's weak-kneed, gutless Republicans who refuse to stand up and lead this country forward as well. And we've got to do a better job of it.
Brazil, China, dumping the U.S. dollar as the intermediary. China is getting deadly serious and making huge gains internationally. Goodness sakes, they're brokering deals between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Talk about cats and mice living together. This is a really, really, really big deal, what they're doing, while we focus on hanging pride flags from our embassy. What are we doing?
Well, we're doing exactly like that. And also, we are allowing our wide open borders to embolden and encourage China and cartels. We have a narco-terror state in Mexico. We have China now, major footholds, strongholds in South America, Central America, Mexico, because we refuse to export the rule of law, ensure that we've got a strong Western Hemisphere economic agreement so that we're actually pushing back on China. And instead, we're allowing China to beat us in our own backyard in the Western Hemisphere. The next president should have a bold, effectively a Monroe Doctrine of the 21st century. We're going to reclaim the Western Hemisphere. We're going to be making sure that the rule of law is respected, root out the narco-terror states, push China out of the Western Hemisphere, and reestablish our dominance here, because this is our backyard, and we need to make sure we're doing that in the next administration.
What is H.R. 29, Chip?
It is a glorious bill that would do what the American people want us to do, which is to ensure that we are no longer releasing people into the United States using asylum as an excuse to blow the hell out of our actual border security and sovereignty. There are some people who are trying to say that it is an anti-asylum bill. It's not true. What it is a bill that says simply, we should detain, adjudicate a claim to asylum if somebody has a credible fear of being persecuted for their religious or political beliefs, then we can handle those cases. But then we should turn away if we don't have the beds to be able to house them for the duration of a claim. That's all we're saying. And that's basically what the Trump administration was doing. And so we're going to continue to move that policy forward here legislatively. There's a few people squawking about it, but I think there's general agreement that we need to return to the Trump policies that were working. That's what H.R. 29 would do. Anybody saying otherwise is not being truthful, but we're going to root this out and try to get something moving here in the next couple of weeks. The week we get back from Easter, I expect to move legislation that will do what we need to do to have detention space and then turn away if we're not detaining for an adjudication of some claim.
Senator? Oh, sorry, no, that's for the future. Senator, I appreciate you. Come back soon, Chip.
God bless, Jesse. Thank you.
You bet. We're getting him in the Senate. I don't even know if he wants to. We're just going to bully Chip Roy right into the Senate. That's what we're going to do. But, all right, before we get to that, let's get to your wallet. Dudes love gadgets. It's why we watch James Bond. It's why we watched MacGyver. Am I dating myself there? It's why we watched MacGyver. We love cool stuff. Do you know that your wallet can be cool too? My wallet, I had all kinds of them. The traditional one that folds up, fits in your back pocket. I even had one of those little slim ones forever that holds a few cards and goes in your front pocket. And I liked it, but they were all flawed. Like that one in the front pocket, I liked it, but eventually the leather wears out. It actually showed your card numbers on the outside of it. Your cards start falling out. It's horrible. Pull it out of your pocket. Your cards are falling. Grip 6 wallets? My cards are locked in the wallet. I can't get them out until I want to. I just squeeze, and out they pop. You can get them with the loop, without the loop, made in America. All kinds of designs. This is just my favorite one. All kinds of designs. You can design your own in American made. They also have the greatest socks ever, which I'm currently wearing. The greatest belts, fully adjustable belts. No more that stupid little hole system there that never works out right. Go to grip6.com/Jesse. Get some American made gear that's really cool. Grip6.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Mr. Secretary, I want to say to you right now,
it is precisely
your behavior is disgraceful, and the deaths, the children assaulted, the children raped, they are at your feet, and if you had integrity, you would resign. And I will tell you, the men and women of the Border Patrol, they've never had a political leader undermine them. They despise you, Mr. Secretary, because you're willing to let children be raped to follow political orders. This is a crisis, it's a disgrace, and you won't even admit this human tragedy is a crisis.
Claiming 1 minute chairman time, Mr. Secretary, would you like to respond to any of those questions?
What the senator said was revolting. I'm not going to address it.
Your refusal to do your job is revolting.
Daggone. Ted always makes me uncomfortable. Joining me now, Julio Rosas, senior writer, townhall.com, Marine, also author of the book, Fiery But Mostly Peaceful. Julio, Alejandro Mayorkas, kind of a job's he done down there on the border. You're always down there in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, that line of questioning from Senator Cruz, that's been a long time coming. I mean, obviously, because his state has been bearing the brunt along with, you know, Arizona as well. And so, this was definitely something that Mayorkas, of course he didn't respond to that, because Senator Cruz is absolutely right that the border has always been a problem, right? That's never been in dispute. But just like with every other issue that the Biden administration has approached, they've made the border 10 times worse. And so that has led to an increase, obviously with people crossing the border, but also the crimes that happen along the border with people trying to get into the United States, with the human trafficking, the sex slavery. You know, we've just had that recent report from the mainstream media talking about the increase in child labor in these meat processing facilities and these, you know, auto parts facilities that are, you know, not for, you know, children to be working in, but because there's an influx of unaccompanied minors that have come for, you know, the past 2 years, of course they're going to be put in these types of positions. And honestly, those kids are the lucky ones because they're not working in sex slavery, right? I mean, and that has also increased. So it's very, very frustrating as someone who's seen it all firsthand, and then you see someone like Mayorkas who knows all this. I mean, this guy has all, you know, leads one of the most intelligent gathering agencies in the country, and he knows all this, and yet he's trying to make this posture of like, well, you know, this is a challenge. It predates us. This is the previous administration's fault. This is happening hemisphere wide. And it's like, well, yeah, it's happening hemisphere wide because they're trying to get to the country, to our country.
Julio, explain the morale of Border Patrol right now, because I know some Border Patrol agents, and I'm sure I don't have as many in my phone book as you do. Well, I guess it's all on our phone now. I just dated myself. But I know I don't have as many numbers as you do. What's morale like in Border Patrol?
It's terrible. It's been terrible for a very long time. In fact, I had an agent out of Yuma, Arizona, which has been one of the hardest hit areas along the border, and that's even smaller than the Rio Grande Valley in Texas. But I had an agent just message me just last night, and he was furious with what Mayorkas was saying. And, you know, I think that's something that's not often highlighted enough, is just the fact that Border Patrol, the agents that are constantly on the field, I mean, they see it firsthand, right? They see it every day. A lot of them have worked through multiple presidential administrations, and they will tell you that this is the worst administration we've had to work under. And I've never heard of a Homeland Security Secretary, even a Border Patrol chief, that is as loathed as the current ones. And obviously that's for a reason, right? Because again, Mayorkas knows the cause and effect, and he knows the policies that have an effect on immigration. It's not just because America is great, although obviously we're in a tough spot, but he's still carrying out these policies because he knows if he goes against the Biden administration, he's going to be out of a job. And so he's choosing the job over quite literally the security of the nation and the human tragedy and the human suffering that goes along with it.
Julio, I know that we have families watching. I'm glad we do. And this will be family friendly, but you made a reference earlier to the children and the women and sex slavery. And this is something I've tried to explain to people, what these people are going through once they get across the border. Because the normal American, you know, wife, husband, kids, school, job, does not realize the absolute horror that some people are going through in our country because of that southern border. So as gently as you can you elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the examples that I have about that, because you're right, it's not just people making it that get abused along the way. A lot of times it does continue to happen after they get to the United States. And an example I have of that is it was one of the very first times I was down at the border during this crisis. And I kept hearing people, because I would ask them where they were going after they were going to get released. And I kept hearing North Carolina, North Carolina, North Carolina, in addition to places like New York, Chicago, Houston. I mean, the cities, but I mean, North Carolina kept coming up. And so I asked a buddy of mine who worked at DHS under the Trump administration. I said, hey, why do I keep hearing about North Carolina? What's going on over there? And he said that because of, you know, some of the counties there are sanctuary, not just cities, but counties, because the sheriff's department won't work with them, won't work with ICE. The cartel presence in that state and those areas has increased. And so oftentimes, because, you know, you hear about the price, you know, thousands of dollars to cross. And a lot of these people, they're coming here because they don't have thousands of dollars. So they're in debt. So once they get released and once they get to, you know, the cartel will tell them, you're going to this location so that you can work this job or that job to pay off the debt that you've accumulated. And it's not, I mean, before it was like, you know, $5,000, $6,000, up to $10,000. When I was just in the Rio Grande Valley a couple of weeks ago, we encountered an Ecuadorian who was paying $30,000, which is very unusual, because typically when you get to the tens of thousands, like the Chinese nationals, you know, the further away they are from the border, the price increases. And also it kind of depends on the nationality of where they're coming from. And so the fact that, I mean, you know, we made the joke that the reason why the price increased for him is because of inflation. But I think it's just because the cartels know that they can just continue to increase the price, even if it's in within the same kind of, you know, hemisphere, that they can charge these prices, because why wouldn't they? They have a monopoly essentially on this. So they have to work these pretty either dangerous jobs or very, very, you know, unfortunate circumstances in order to pay off that debt.
God, it's just awful. All right, we're going to switch gears real quick. D.C. Council Chair Phil Mendelson had this to say about crime in D.C.
I know this belies the common belief, and when it comes to crime, how people feel is important, but there is not a crime crisis in Washington, D.C.
Julio, is that true?
No. What he said is it's not true at all. Murders are up at this time from compared to last year. Carjackings and, you know, vehicle thefts are up. Certain other crimes, such as like robbery or just, you know, assault with a deadly weapon, those are slightly down from the same time last year, which is still historically high compared to, you know, previous years before the 2020 riots. I mean, and of course, I mean, during that hearing and during his testimony, there was a double shooting that involved a juvenile. One person was killed in that. And then there was video, again, during that testimony, of a carjacking taking place right in front of two police officers. And because of the policies, because how restricted D.C. Metropolitan police officers have become, and after George Floyd and all that, they couldn't do anything. They just kind of had to watch this guy kind of just smash his way and drive his way out of the scene, and he fled. And so hopefully maybe they can. They're just gonna gather what vehicle and put a bolo out for that. But obviously it's just that's like what you would see in something in GTA, right? Just being completely. Free will in front of police officers to get away. And so I used to live in the Washington, D.C. area. Thankfully, I don't anymore. But, I mean, it's degraded a lot. And I lived over there for 6 years in all parts, Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. And it's just not at all what it used to be. And, of course, then we had Senator Ryan's or Senate staffer being attacked. It's just the classic, you're not allowed to notice the degrading that's happening within our cities. And that's was creeping prior to 2020. But I mean, that year really did change a lot of things. And so in the aftermath of that, I kind of refer to it as like a low intensity breakdown of law and order, because obviously when riots are happening, that's a very in your face example of breakdown in society. But things haven't improved since then. They've continued to get worse. And so it's not just DC, it's all these other cities that are experiencing this crime wave. And for all the left just says, well, you're racist for noticing that, or for wanting to do something to address this problem. And I know you're always talk about get out of the blue cities and get to red states and fortify it, and I'm definitely in that camp.
Julio, thank you, brother. Semper Fi, keep going.
Semper Fi, thanks.
All right. Let's do some culture war stuff. You want to do some culture war stuff? I don't know why I just scratched my chin when I said that. That seemed very sophisticated. Let's do some culture war stuff. We'll do that in a second. First, I don't want your dog to die. All right? I don't want my dog to die. I do what I can for Fred to make sure I'm taking care of him. We love that idiot, that big fluffy idiot. Take him to the vet, make sure he's up on his shots and worms and things like that. But dogs are living things just like human beings. What's the most important thing that will decide your future, my future, your dog's future? The nutrition you put in your body. Your dog's no different. Dog is flesh and blood. It needs the proper nutrition. Do you know that unless your dog is getting Rough Greens, it's a supplement you pour on his food, there's a good chance your dog will never once have vitamins, minerals, omega oils, probiotics, things living animals need to survive. Because there's nothing in the dog food. It's all dead. That's why it has a shelf life of 10,000 years. It's just dead. Get your dog on Rough Greens, 100% natural. Free Jumpstart trial bag right now. And watch the difference in your dog. Hyperactive? Watch the difference. Too lethargic? Watch the difference. Digestive issues? Fred had those really bad. Watch the difference. You'll live longer. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Free jumpstart trial bag. roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. You know what we love to talk about on the right? And I'm glad we do. You know what we love to talk about, though? We love to talk about accountability. Personal responsibility. Accountability. Own your mistakes. You are responsible for what is happening to you. We love to talk about that, and those are good things. I'm not putting that down. That's a good thing. But it does feel often to me as if we talk about personal responsibility only as something the left, the communists, need to be better at, and we don't take any ownership of it at all for ourselves. And there are a couple huge ways you see this now in this country. One, you've heard me go off a million times about GOP primary voters. 20% participation in primaries for the GOP. The Democrats have 50, ours is 20. That's pathetic. We'll call all day long, rhinos, you're a rhino, look at this rhino. Our reddest states have the most pathetic senators. because we're too lazy and stupid to show up in the primary and vote them out. But it's more than just that when we're talking about personal responsibility. Let's talk a little bit about what happened in the state of Tennessee today. You see, we're having all this trans day of vengeance crap today. And in this Tennessee state legislature, this is what happened today. Now, maybe you're sitting there saying right now, look at those savages, look at those communist street activists, look at all that insanity, look at all that craziness as they attempt to stop an official proceeding, as they attempt to trespass on Capitol grounds. Maybe you're saying all these things. You know what you should be saying? Why aren't all those savages already in jail? Why has the GOP-controlled Tennessee state, which is a wonderful state, why have they not taken every single one of those people and did exactly what the Democrats did to the January 6th protesters? Lock every single one of them up, spend the next 2 years going after everyone who had anything to do with it, prosecute them all to the maximum sentence, throw them in a dark hole for the next 10 years. You're complaining about things like this? It's time to look in the mirror, low-T GOP. You're the reason this continues to happen. When you tried that with Democrats, they took your people and they destroyed their lives. In many cases, they ended their lives. But today, this happens to the low-T GOP, and what do you get? The left is so crazy. Yeah, they're crazy. They're scum. They're all the things you're saying right now. It's time to look in the mirror. You know what? I don't feel the least bit of sympathy for the Tennessee state legislature, the governor. I don't feel even that much sympathy for any of them. Either crack down on these savages and let them know this is a no-go in the state of Tennessee, or it's not just that I don't care. I hope this keeps happening. I think it's funny. I think your pathetic weakness, I think it makes me laugh. It's time to stop coddling the GOP and start slapping them awake, because with this pathetic party, we will never take back the country. If you're in a red state like Tennessee and you're some nutball trans communist, you should be afraid to do something like that. Did they look afraid to you? Or did they look emboldened? They look pretty bold to me. Whole Tennessee state legislature needs some chalk. They do. Maybe we'll talk to the boys at Chalk and get them to send a gigantic pack of male vitality stack to the Tennessee GOP. Because apparently they're leading at the tip of the spear of the low-T GOP in this country. They all need a 20% increase in their testosterone in 90 days, which Chalk can give you with natural herbal supplements, not injections in your freaking arm. Come on now, wake up. That's not good for you. No more big pharma stuff. Female vitality stack, male vitality stack, endless other natural herbal supplements, the highest quality from the anti-communists at Chalk. I love these guys. And they're 35% off subscriptions right now. Go take it for 90 days and you tell me how you feel. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, all right? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. I'm sorry, I'm already laughing about it. Joe Biden was always embarrassing. I remember he was always embarrassing. Obama was embarrassed by him routinely. He basically said as much. He was always this punchline clown, but while being a senator is important, and I don't want to dismiss that, he was always just a senator from Delaware. Okay, so he's embarrassing, but the senator from Delaware, okay, not the end of the world. It just floors me that we took this boob of a human being and we made him president of the United States of America. This latest video, I'll tell you what. Before we get to that, let's get to this real quick. You're not stuck in your timeshare, all right? I know you think you're stuck in your timeshare. I know these timeshare companies rip people off all the time. They get you in, fancy pictures, timeshare on the beach, and you go, you enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed it. And at some point in time, you're done with it, right? Everything comes to an end. And so you think, I'll just get out of it now. You call, email, what do they tell you? Oh, sorry, you're locked in for life. Should have read the fine print. Got to pay those annual fees, special assessments all the time, just money coming out of your pocket. Lone Star Transfer caught on to this game a long time ago. They're 99% successful getting people out, legally and permanently. You're one phone call away from getting out of that timeshare. Call 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. All right, here's Joe Bidenopoulos.
The nickname I got early on when I won by 3,200 votes and for the Senate seat when I was 29 years old is because I started calling me Joe Bidenopoulos because, oh, you think I'm kidding? I'm not joking, am I? I'm not joking because of the overwhelming support from the Greek American community.
Nobody's ever called him Joe Bidenopoulos. He didn't go to a black church. He's not a student of Persian culture. It's just, I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.